Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Hargren. Glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time. You tune me in either by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we're now streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Some of you tune me in by the way of Ionia at I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock, and I welcome you. Others have tuned in by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock, and we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Some of you tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 11 o'clock. I welcome you. Those of you that's listening by the way of my website, is pastorkenharger.com. And then scroll over to you'll see where it says media storage for my radio broadcast. And when you come to that, you can click on that and it takes you right to the storage place. And there you can either listen right at the same time, right at that time, or you can download it if you know how to do that. Whatever way you joined us, I'm just so glad to be able to be sharing with you in our broadcast time today. First of all, I'd like to take a moment because Christmas is getting closer, you know. Christmas, and I wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas from Bev and I in our home, and God's richest blessing to be upon you this Christmas season. I do want to mention, I'll do more about it next week, but Christmas Eve at Shiloh, it's about 6 or 6:30. I'm not exactly sure of the time this, right now. But I'm going to be playing the part of a shepherd. I have done this before. I'm going to have a sheep there with me, and we're going to be telling the message of how the shepherds heard about the birth of the Lord Jesus. I want to give you an invitation. This is probably... I'm 83 and soon working on 84, so I thought this will probably be the last year that I'll do that, but I would sure love to have you come and join me, and I'll give more information about that next week. I need to say thank you for those that take care of our financial costs that's involved in broadcasting. And first of all, I want to say thank you to Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area. They've been a sponsor for a long time. I want to say thank you to Betty and Judy Hammond from the building area. They just took on the sponsorship of this program. And to Gloria Spencer, in memory and honor of her husband, Spence, that was his nickname. And she's from Orleans, and I thank her so much. And then to Gay London, in memory and honor of her husband, Dave, from Greenville. And Marie Ovard, in memory and honor of her husband, Fran, and she lives in Dayton, Tennessee. But we appreciate all of those that help us with the financial cost of our broadcast time, because we realize everything costs a little money, you know, and you got to have equipment, you got to have materials. And so I just appreciate so much those new ones that have taken us on, because we was getting pretty tight and I wanted to keep on doing the program at least for one more year, but we'll see what happens as the Lord leads and directs. And as I come to you, I want to also give you an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church out at the Orleans campus, as we call it. There's a Saturday evening at 6:30, Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, contemporary service at 10:45, our new Greenville campus at the old Lutheran Church up there located on M91 by the new McDonald's. That morning service is 11 o'clock. And give you an invitation to attend any one of those services that you might so desire. Well, this morning we're talking about Christmas is the gift exchange. God's given us the gift of His Son, His one and only Son. And Jesus has given us the gift that He was willing to leave heaven's glory and to become one of us. And we need to know that we need to give some things back. And so we're going to address that this morning. It's an invitation for us to realize that Christmas is a very, very special time. So get us started. We're going to listen to a song, and this song speaks about the star. I love everything about the Christmas story. I love the idea of the star. We've already talked about that in the Wise Men, that God can reach out to any person anyway. He's got so many different ways He can do it. But let's listen to this song that reminds us about that beautiful star the wise men seen, and that star that led them to Bethlehem and caused them to realize that this king was born. And I like that Jesus was born King of the Jews, and that's what they said. Well, here we go.
There was a star in the eastern sky, shone down on Bethlehem. A few had recognized the sign. A king was born to them. It drew them to a manger, to a virgin mother's son, who would draw us to salvation. God's gift to everyone. And the star still shines after all this time as a light for me and you. It beckons us to seek him. Wise men still do. Wise men still do. In these crazy troubled times, the world seems so out of tune. Sometimes it's like we're living without a flame to light the room. If you're feeling faithless and you think you've lost your way, there is a hope that's bright enough to turn your night to day. And the star still shines after all this time as a light for me and you. It beckons us to seek him. Wise men still do. Won't go out after Christmas like a candle in the wind. It's a light that shines forever, not just every now and then. The star still shines after all this time as a light for me and you. It beckons us to seek him. Wise men still do. Oh, wise men still do. Wise men still do.
Glad that light still shines. Nice song. I had not heard that song until KN had it here for our broadcast time. I really like it, and KN has told me she'll do the music for me another year, and I really appreciate. And so thank you to KN for picking out that nice song to get us started this morning. We need to realize that this thing of Christmas is a beautiful story. And as we go through this message for this morning, we're going to learn the different people that were involved in the Christmas story. And it took all of it to bring about this beautiful story of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of mankind. But I want to pray for our listening audience. I like doing it. I'm glad I picked that up again. I got away from it for a little while, but I want to pray for each one of you that's listening this morning. Whatever you and your family is going through, we just want the Lord's special blessing to be upon you, because there's always things of difficulty. Those of you that are the older sheep of the flock, you know, there's things that happen when we get older that's a lot more difficult to handle than what it was when we were younger. So let's just bow for a moment. Dear Father, We come to you, and as I start this morning, I want to remember all of the older people that's listening to the program today. Maybe some of them's in the nursing home. Maybe some's in a foster care home. Maybe some have come to that point where they're pretty much homebound and they can't get out to go to church. And I just count it a privilege, Father, as this message comes into their home and shares with them. And I would like to pray for them especially this morning. The different difficulties that we face as we get older, the things that we can't do anymore, and difficulty remembering and difficulty doing the things that was so easy for us to do before and now very hard for us to do. The fact we have to rely upon other people now and then. And I just pray for the older people of the congregation this morning in my listening audience that you would minister to them for a very special way. And all the rest of our listening audience, whatever they going through. I don't know what their week was, but Father, you do. And you promise you would never leave us, you would never forsake us, that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. And so, Father, I just pray this morning you'd be the helper to those that's going maybe through some physical time that's very difficult for them. Maybe some emotional things that's going on in their family unit or in their own individual life that makes it very difficult. I pray, Father, for those that may have fractured families where things are not just doing too well within the family unit and there's a lot of friction. And I just pray your hand of blessing to be upon those dear people today. I pray for those, Father, that want to maybe do a little more for their family for Christmas, but they just don't have the finances. So I pray, Father, for all of those with financial difficulty that you might minister to them in a very special way. Have your well and way with the message. May something be said this morning that is an encouragement to them, a strengthening power to them, and they might know for sure this one baby Jesus brought many things with him to help us in our journey on planet Earth. I just ask your blessing to be upon our time together now in that wonderful name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Well, Christmas, the exchange of gifts, I want to use as the foundation for a gift and a gift of change, a verse that's very common to almost everyone in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. This Son's name was Jesus. That's the name that the Father wanted him to have. That's the name that angel told Mary that he was to be. That's the name that Joseph was told he was supposed to be. Jesus so loved us, you and I, that he was willing to not only be born in the likeness of man, but he is also willing to become one of us in order that he might understand what it's all about and that he would be able to accomplish something for us that we cannot accomplish by ourselves. He was our representative, and this is what the scripture says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God had a plan. And that plan involved you and I. That plan involved his Son. That plan involved all of those that was a part of the birth experience of the Lord Jesus to bring him into this world. Christmas is the power of wonder. Have you ever asked yourself as you've watched a child with a gift beginning to open it and see the wonder in their eyes? I wonder what's in this. They shake it sometimes. Sometimes they squeeze it. Sometimes all they do is just rip the paper off and find out what it is. But as he opens that gift, and then as he sees what it is, his eyes will grow as big as a saucer. He's so excited. You know, there's danger for you and I as we get older to lose that kind of a wonder that we had as a child. There's danger of that childlike wonder disappearing. Let me tell you what Webster said it was. Webster in a dictionary, I looked it up, it says that emotion which is excited by something new, something unusual, something great and extraordinary, something that arrests the attention by its grandeur or its greatness. It just gets your attention. This is wonderful. And you know, when I speak of the danger of losing that childlike wonder, I had in mind the danger of losing the wonder about the Christmas story. You know, I told him last Sunday when I had the closing prayer in the 9 o'clock service, this was my 60th Christmas I've spent at Shiloh. Told the story so many times myself. I'm telling it all these years since I've been retired. The last 10 years, I still, every December, tell the Christmas story. And you know what? One of the songs that I really like said, it's a story that will never grow old. But sometimes when we know something, we think, well, I guess I already know that story. But you know what? I want us to think of it this morning in a fresh, new way. Because this story never grows old. The Christmas season is such a beautiful season for us to have in our lives. I prayed Scrooge once on a story of Scrooge on the I Own Your radio station. And I got to tell you, one of the things there is, oh, humbug. Well, we don't want that to be old humbug this morning. We want it to be the story. I've heard it before, but I'm looking forward to hearing it again. I'm looking forward to hearing it because this story never, never grows old. I love this verse that is not a part of the story of the birth of Jesus, that is not in the Gospels where the story is being told. But I believe it belongs in the Christmas message. And I got this verse from the Children's Bible. Sometimes I like using the Children's Bible. It's just kind of down to earth. But when the right time came, God sent us his son. His son was born of a woman, and he lived under the law. God did that so that he could buy freedom for those who were under the law. His purpose was to make us his children, and you are God's child. That is why God sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. God wants you to know the foundation for the Christmas message is God was willing to share his one son that he might gain many sons and daughters. And when you believe in him, you become a child of God. And as a child of God, you've got a relationship now not only with God, but you got a relationship with his son, the Lord Jesus. Just think of the wonder of the plan of God. As through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, I can't think of anything else when I think of the Christmas story, then that's an amazing story, folks. All the different things that's in it. It's an amazing story. And it never should grow old to us. There's a hymn that comes to my mind, and I'm not going to sing it. You'd turn the radio off, and I don't want you to do that. It's titled, The Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Remember one of the messages we shared a while back? It said, his name shall be called Wonderful. That's one of the names of Jesus. That's a nice idea. He's amazing. It's wonderful. It's beyond our comprehension. And this song took the idea of the wonder of Jesus and put it with the grace of God that he brought with him. And it says it's a wonderful grace of Jesus. The first verse goes like this. Wonderful grace of Jesus, that all my sin, how shall my tongue describe it? And where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. And it reaches you, folks. Like the song said, that star is still shining. That star is still there for you and I to be a part of the message that this baby Jesus brought into our lives and into our world. Christmas is a time for sure to exchange gifts. A Christmas gift is like no other gift ever given. It's been in the heart of God since the beginning of time. Ever since sin came into the world, way back there in the Garden of Eden, with Adam and Eve, they were created perfectly. And you know what? They sinned. And that's what caused this gift to be needed. There's a portion of Scripture that's not a part of this Christmas story, but I want it to be a part of our understanding of why this one Jesus came. In the book of Romans chapter 5, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men. Why? Because all of us are sinners. Sometimes you might wonder, why would I be blamed for what Adam did? If you would have been there, folks, you would have done it too. You would have just disobeyed. They only had one tree that they couldn't touch of. Something in the human element of us, whereby we think, if that's the one thing I can't do, then that's the one thing we want. You ever notice that? Shouldn't eat any dessert tonight when I go to the buffet dinner. But you know, you can tell yourself that, but all of a sudden you find yourself doing that. One of my favorite stories about that was when our daughter was giving birth to children, and she had a couple children, and then she called me one time, and she said, Dad, on this third child, she said, I'm not going to pick up everything off from the table, and, you know, the table in the front room, and just move things. I'm just going to try to teach him not to do that. And, you know, when he started to creep, you know what he wanted to do? Because that's what little kids do. It's born into them. He would creep up where he wasn't supposed to be, and he'd touch things he wasn't supposed to touch. He'd knock them off from the coffee table and so on. And so she would just slap his hands a little bit and say, no, 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 no. And then one time she said, after she did that to him several times, he was creeping across the floor, headed for the coffee table. And as he got to the coffee table, he stopped and he slapped his hands. He took one hand and slapped the other hand and said, no, 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 no. And then he reached up and grabbed whatever he was reaching for. It's inside of us, folks. Listen to this next part of these verses from Romans. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, how much more have the grace of God and the free gift of by grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abound for many? Therefore, as one man's trespasses led to condemnation and all men, so the act of one man's righteousness led to justification and life for all men. For as one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. By the one man's obedience, Jesus, the many will be made righteous. That's for us to know. We need to know that. That's one of the things that Jesus brings with us. That we've been born in a sin nature. And that we, as we get older, we sin and do some things. And sin isn't just naughty, bad things. There's a Bible verse that I've always liked that says, to anyone who knows to do good and he doesn't do it, to him that is sin. Not just naughty, bad things. You see, God's telling us how sin came into the world and what his plan was. His plan from the time that Adam sinned was, we're going to make a way for that to be changed. Adam was our representative. So what God decided is he's going to have another representative. It's going to be his son, Jesus. And him who knew no sin, Jesus never committed a sin. Him who knew no sin became sin for you and I, that the righteousness of God might be passed on to us. There's forgiveness today because this one, the Lord Jesus, was willing to leave heaven's glory and to become one of us. And all that Adam destroyed, the Lord Jesus has the power to bring back into our lives. And it all happened through the baby born in Bethlehem. I've said it a few times through this Christmas season, but when God created Adam and Eve, he created adult people. But when God wanted to tell you that he loved you, that he loved me, he sent us a little baby. That's what God shares in Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 through 8. Jesus, taking the form of a servant, that's what he did, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in a human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And that's a terrible way to die. And yet he did that for us. It is the one act of righteousness that leads to justification and life for all men. For by one man's disobedience again, many were made sinners. But dear people, as we believe in this one Jesus, through the act that he did of him dying upon that cross, being buried and rose again, he made it possible for you and I to not only have the forgiveness of sin, but to have the hope of eternal life. No wonder it is told his name shall be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel. It means God with us. We need to receive that gift and try to figure out what this gift means to each one of us and how this gift can help us and cause us to go forward in our life. Without hesitation, I would share with each and every one of you this morning, not only is that gift, you need this gift. You need it in your life. You can't do enough good stuff. We need Emmanuel. We need God in our life. We need forgiveness in our life. We need to know that this one Jesus, when he died upon that cross, it was that your righteousness will never be a good enough. But when you place your faith and trust in Christ, then God the Father, when he looks upon you, he sees that you're in Jesus. And then he sees the righteousness of Jesus. And that's been put into your account. That's been given to you because you believe in him. And so we need to know the answer to the realization that God is saying, you need him. You need Jesus. Not only do we need the gift, but we need the giver. And we need to realize that everything that comes from him, we should be a good receiver. I think I've said this before, but whenever I do a wedding, I tell them at the end of the ceremony, give you this encouragement, you know, be a good giver to one another. And don't be stingy in the receiving part neither. I love the Gospel of John shares a story about the birth of Jesus that I believe deals with this question. What about this gift? John 1:1-5, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. That's what this one Jesus, Emmanuel. He's God in the flesh. He had been with the God the Father in all eternity past. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That's why there was a star. God was sending light for all men. That's why I say that star still shines. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Have you noticed when you're out when it's really dark? Doesn't take a very big light to overcome the darkness. The darkness disappears when the light appears. And that's why Jesus came. This gift was well received in heaven. When he was there in eternity past, in him, and it was satisfied with him, they were satisfied with his life. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. We need to know in our mind and our heart from these verses that the Christmas gift is bringing to us life and light. That's what God wants us to have for our individual life. When God said he loved the whole world, you can put your name in it. He loved you because he loved everyone. It goes on in the book of John to say about this light. He said this Jesus is the true light which enlightens everyone who's come into the world. He was in the world and the world was made by him and through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, the Jewish people, and his own people did not receive him. But to all that did receive him, here we go now. This is what the Christmas message brings to us. This is what Jesus brings to us. But all who did receive this one Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become the children of God. We were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but we were born of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only Son from the Father, the fullness of grace and truth. God reaches out to each one of us this morning. He said, this Christmas story just isn't about the baby Jesus being born. It's about the purpose of this baby Jesus. That mankind was sinful. And that mankind needed forgiveness. And that mankind cannot do enough to earn that forgiveness. So God sent his one and only Son. And he was perfect. And when he died upon the cross, there was no sins they could charge him with. And yet, he was willing to become sin for you and I. You might ask, how do I decide Rather, I want to be, just says in that verses I just read to you, some received him and some didn't. How do I decide if I want to receive him or reject him? I like a verse in Psalm 34:8 that I really like when it comes to the Lord. Taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the person whose refuge takes refuge in him. Taste and see the Lord is good. The word taste, I mean, makes it about a decision that comes from the inside. God's not out to get your heart, your head, folks. God's out to get your heart. The word taste speaks of something from the inside, and this gift is for the inner need in each one of our lives. It is a need for God. And if we reject God to fill that inner need, then that inner need is left unfulfilled. And that's why people seek and keep searching and seeking. They're looking for something. Good news for the Christian, but for all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become the children of God. God tells us that the problem of mankind is that he came to fix it. He came to be what we need in our life as an individual. That's a part of the Christmas story. It isn't just a baby in a manger. It's the idea that you and I need that baby in the manger. It just isn't that that one grew to be an adult person. It's the idea we need what he came for. There's an empty place in my heart and life that only Jesus can fill. There's an empty place in your heart and life that only Jesus can fill. We're going to listen to a song, and this is going to be the song that I think should help us along this idea of thinking about this. It's the power of that wonderful name of Jesus. And this song is talking about, cherish that name of Jesus. That name of Jesus is a wonderful thing. That name of Jesus speaks about what all he brought with him for our need. God bless you as we listen.
Cherish that beautiful name. Cherish that wonderful name. Cherish that matchless name.
Save his people from their sin, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Both Son of God and Son of Man, call his name Jesus. King of kings and Lord of lords, he shall reign forevermore. So come before him and adore
the lovely name of Jesus. Cherish that. But Jesus. magnify Him loud and strong, the lovely name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus,
cherish that beautiful name.
Such a beautiful name.
Cherish that
wonderful name. I want to
cherish that matchless name. That name is Jesus.
Yes,
that name.
That name is Jesus. Jesus cherished that name. What a beautiful name was given to Him. And when we think of Jesus, when we say that name, it gives us a picture of who He was. You see, when I hear a person's name or I think of a person's name, I automatically draw from my mind and heart some of those things that that person means to me. And that's what Jesus is doing to each one of us. He wants us to realize it takes us responding to that name, responding to that little baby Jesus, responding to that one that died upon the cross, responding to that one that arose from the grave and has given us the promise that one day He's coming back again as He ascended into heaven. God is reminding us, and Mary is my best picture that I can do, that I can share with you from the Christmas story of how she responded. I like this story. I've always loved this thought here. The book of Luke, chapter 1. In the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came and he said unto her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of a greeting this might be. The angel said unto her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you shall conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." You know, it goes on a little further and it says, Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? Since I am a virgin." The angel said unto her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. Therefore this child to be born will be holy. He shall be called the Son of God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be unto me according to your word." And the angel left her. What a beautiful encounter. It's from heaven. The angel knows the town she lives in. He knows where she is at different periods of time in her life. He knows her name. He knows Joseph's name. And he knows that God says she's found favor with him. And that God's going to bring about a miracle baby. Now, some people have a little trouble with that idea of a virgin giving birth. You know, just think, it's the power of God. When God created an adult person, He created the woman with the ability and the man with the ability, that between the two of them, they can have a child. But God created them. And if God created an adult person that's able to do those things, why can we not understand that God could take a virgin and say, "This Holy Spirit's going to come upon you"? See, with Adam, he used a little dust. And with Eve, he used the rib out of Adam's side. But he said, "What's going to happen to Mary? Just the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And then in your womb is going to be the God child." this one that you're to call Jesus. And that was something that was very special. And that was something that was very necessary. The encounter of the angel to Gabriel with Mary, there is a statement that we need to consider that was given to her by the angel. He also said to her, your real relative Elizabeth, in her old age, she also is going to conceive a baby. The statement is this, for nothing will be impossible with God. Mary, it's not only the fact that you might say it's impossible for you to give birth to a baby because you're a virgin. I'm telling you, Mary, your relative Elizabeth, she's way past birth, the ability to give birth. And I tell you, she's going to give birth to a baby too. Matter of fact, it's 6 months with her now. And that was something that was very special and that Mary needed to hear. Nothing is impossible with God. And we need to know that Christmas story also teaches us that God is looking for people who will believe in him. May I go a step further? God is looking for people who will trust him, even if it's something that's never been done before. It's never happened before. You know, in your life, in my life, there's many things that's never been done before, and yet God chose to use you to do that. We need to realize Mary was a chosen vessel to bring the baby Jesus into the world. You and I, when we believe him, we are chosen vessels of God to take the baby Jesus to the world and to share things that we never would have been able to do before. This is the news that came to Mary from the angel, and it just turned her world upside down, folks. Remember, she was engaged to be married. How's she going to explain this to Joseph? How can he possibly understand that? But I tell you, I love what she said. Be it unto me according to your word. God, I'm going to do whatever you say. I got to tell you, that heart of Mary, no wonder God said she's found favor with me. He knew that even though it's going to be a hard thing, even though it's going to cause her world to be in turmoil because she was engaged to be married and all the people's going to talk. But you and I need to know that Mary's response before she ever thought of any of that kind of stuff. Her response was, I'm your servant, Lord. Here am I. Be it unto me according to thy word. I'm so glad that the angel told Mary about Elizabeth. I think he was telling her that to let her know, Mary, this is possible because this is God. Nothing's impossible for God. God, the creator of the human race, the creator of the universe, he can do anything. And Mary, he's saying to her, just to give you some words of encouragement, Your relative Elizabeth, she's way past having babies, and she's 6 months pregnant. I'm glad that was in there. Mary's world was turned upside down by the message from the angel, and I believe God knew that she needed to talk to somebody. That's why I believe he told her about Elizabeth and what she was going through, and how impossible it was for her to have a baby, and yet she was going to be having a baby. That baby was going to be John the Baptist. He was a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that prepared the way. That older woman, Elizabeth, I'm sure that would be a tremendous help to young Mary. You know what she did, according to the scripture, after the angel left her? Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. In those days, Mary rose up and went with haste to the hill country, to a town in Judea, and she entered into the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Mary, I'm going to go see Elizabeth. I can't handle this all by myself type of thing. I'm going to go and see Elizabeth. And she greeted Elizabeth. And then all of a sudden, Elizabeth started speaking. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, and a baby leaped within her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and God's now going to speak through this woman, Elizabeth. And we need to hear this as part of the Christmas story. Blessed are you among women, Mary, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, the mother of my Lord, to come to me? You're going to be the mother of my Lord, and you've come to me. For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who will believe, and it would be fulfilled of what God had spoken to her. I want us to consider. I wouldn't want to leave this part of the story out of the Christmas story, because it's an encouragement to Mary, but also it's an encouragement to each one of us that God works in ways that we don't always understand. But God does bring us some support in the difficulties that we may be called to go through in our individual life. I love this as a part of the Christmas story because the words of Elizabeth, shared by the Holy Spirit, gives us something we would have missed. Mary, you're a blessed woman among all women, Mother of the Lord. No one else could do that, folks. God chose Mary. But God chooses you to do things for him that nobody else can do as well. I love that God shared with us this special moment between these two women that the babies they were carrying, John the Baptist, just when he said, "For behold, when the sound of your greetings came to my ears, the baby leaped before me." And if you know the story about that later on in the life of John the Baptist, one day when he was baptized in the River Jordan, he looked up and he seen Jesus coming. And he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." How precious that God was using this to bring about the results. Well, before we go, I just want to include Joseph. You know, not only was Mary's world turned upside down, but Joseph's world was turned upside down. And I love, folks, you know, the first two parents of the human race, they was disobedient and sinned. And God said he's going to send his son, Jesus. And the two parents, so to speak, if you allow me to use that, the caregiver Joseph and Mary, they both were obedient to God's concern to carry out his plan. Let me share with you what it shares with us about Joseph. Now, the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord, doesn't give us the name of that angel. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary to be your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Mary, what do you call his name? Jesus. Joseph, what do you call his name? You call him Jesus. That's what God wanted. And now Joseph, how's he going to react to this? How's he going to respond to this? How is he going to have this figure out in his own mind and heart to do what he needed to do? You see, in the time of Joseph, when those things were written, it says Joseph was thinking about maybe putting her away silently. You know, for us to understand that, we don't understand that. But when they got engaged, that was just as strong as the marriage itself. But there was a period of waiting for that engagement. And matter of fact, it was legal documents that were given for engagements. And so he's thinking, I got to end this engagement. But you know what? All of a sudden in a dream, God comes to him with an angel and says, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." She wasn't his wife yet, But don't be afraid to take her as your wife. That which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit. He's going to be the one that's going to save the people from their sins. And as Joseph heard that message, I like what it says in verses 24 and 25. When Joseph woke up from his sleep, he did as the angel commanded him. He took his wife, took Mary to be his wife, but knew her not until she gave birth to a son. And Joseph called his name Jesus. Obedience. Christmas is obedience. The gift God has given to us this morning, for us to think about as far as Christmas is concerned, is that we need to be obedient. We need to be obedient to God. Now, when I think about the responsibilities as a caregiver for Joseph, you know, he would take care of all the nurturing of baby Jesus from the time of birth to manhood. You know, we need to realize that he would do all the things that he was supposed to do to take care of him. And, you know, there's so much more to know about Joseph that we don't get a lot of time to spend on. But, you know, Joseph and Mary had other children. And, you know, and the other children that they had after the birth of the Lord Jesus. It tells us we hear no more from Joseph after baby Jesus is born. We know from the gospel that he and Mary had four sons, James, Joshua, Judah, and Simon, and they had two daughters as well. They were all younger than Jesus. So it must have been very reasonable for you and I to think that was a big responsibility of Joseph. That's why I like that song that says, "Why me? I'm just a simple fella." I want to close with this idea. Joseph was a carpenter. And the Lord Jesus, as he grew up, he worked in the carpenter's shop. You know, sometimes later, Jesus was proclaiming that he was the very Son of God. He wanted the people to know that he was the Son of God. And the people that were listening to the preach, they said, "Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this the carpenter's son? And isn't his brothers and sisters here with us?" See, they're having a hard time comprehending who this one Jesus was. And they didn't understand it. And I don't blame them for not understanding that, because it just has never been done before. But God had a plan. This Christmas story, all of the people surrounding this story were ones that were willing to be obedient to God and to God's plan and to the story that he wanted to tell. And we need to know that Christmas 2018, what Christmas is really saying to us, God wants us to be obedient. We need to be obedient to Emmanuel, God with us. We need to be obedient to this Son that has done so much for each one of us, and he's brought so much to us. So I say to you, Merry Christmas. And as you give back your gift to Jesus, let it be a gift of obedience. God bless you.